I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. John Colangelo. Please go ahead, Mr. Colangelo.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is John Colangelo. I'm Regional Vice President with Investment Planning Council. I'm here with Joseph Muto. He's Financial Advisor with Investment Planning Council, and he works closely with his clients to help, with financial planning services and products to help them live their dreams. His mission statement is hardworking solutions for hard-earned money. Well, good afternoon, Joe.
Good afternoon, John.
I thought today's conference call is going to be on the fourth quarter results for 2015, as well as give an update. So, Joe, maybe you can begin by giving us a brief overview of what happened over the course of 2015.
Sure, John, but as always, I'm going to just read a short disclaimer. Commissions, trailing commissions, management fees, and expenses all may be associated with mutual funds. Please read the prospectus for investing. Mutual funds are not guaranteed. The value change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated. This information in this call is derived in part by Council Portfolio Services. That was a mouthful, but so what I want to do is look at some of the headlines of last year, because mostly what happens dictates to what happens to the markets. So we had the U.S. Federal Reserve ends QE stimulus program, and we talked about the QE, the start, the wind down in our previous calls. MH17 Malaysia plane crashed into Ukraine, and that has this Russian and Ukraine issue that is still ongoing. By the way, they lost a couple other planes, if you remember, in the Philippines there.
Right.
And they still don't know where they are. Euro heads for the longest losing streak after ECB's move. So this is the issues that are going on with Europe, and they're actually going into the stimulus program similar to the U.S. S&P closes at 46th new high for the year. So it just shows you some of that volatility where it went up and down all year, hitting highs at almost every point. Scottish independence. You recall they had a vote, and the vote was no, if people weren't aware of it, but they're still part of the U.K. China cuts interest rates. Talk a bit more about that. And then also there was a lot of headlines about oil and the Canadian dollar. So those are just a few headlines that had an effect on our markets.
Joe, could you give us a quick overview, economic overview of the last quarter?
Well, the last quarter, like I say, with the headlines, it was interesting and it was a bit of a roller coaster ride. If we look in early October, the S&P 500 dropped 5% over a course of 1 week. And that caused a lot of people to get concerned, but it rebounded 2 weeks later at 8%. So just shows you how jumpy it was. There was a lot of unusual economic growth, which was pretty well the hallmark of last year. Some of the parts of the world accelerated, such as the U.S. and U.K. and India. Other parts of the world, such as Europe and Japan, both were disappointments, as well as Brazil and Russia were weak as well.
Joe, I thought you'd maybe give us a little bit of context in terms of some of the index returns over the last quarter that you'd like to touch on.
Yeah, what we'll do is do the best and the worst.
Okay.
So the best index was China, 40% for the quarter, 62% for the year.
Wow.
Just amazing how they rebounded, but they can go the other way just as quick.
Mm-hmm.
The worst index was one of the pigs. Remember the Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece, and Spain?
Right.
There's always one of them doing something. And right now, Portugal was down 17% and 28% for the year. And if we just want to look at us here in Canada, we dropped about 1% for the quarter, but overall for the year, we're up 10%.
Joe, the last quarter of 2014, we saw the Canadian dollar down, and certainly important to a lot of Canadians. I maybe want to comment on that.
Yeah, to comment on the Canadian dollar, we have to look at the U.S. dollar, because that's really what we compare it to, especially every time we cross the border. So the U.S. dollar gained not only against the Canadian dollar, but about almost every other G10 currency and almost all the other emerging currencies in the world. Much of the strength came at the expense of the euro and the yen. Slower global growth, abundant supply of commodities, that's what hurt our Canadian dollar, and also like Australia, which is another resource-linked currency. Our dollar currently is around 80 cents.
Joe, there were two other issues that Canadians are talking about, and that is interest rates and oil. Care to comment on the first interest rates and maybe the rationale for why we're seeing these rising rates?
Well, when you have rising rates, that's usually an indication that the economy is growing above the trend.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, the growth is approaching 5% in your economy. Also, if you have low unemployment, that means a lot of people are working, so there's a reduced labor market out there, which means wages are going to go up. So if wages go up, inflation, those are all rationale for raising rates.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of countries, you know, when you dropped your rate all the way to zero, it's only going to go up. You can't have negative rates.
Right. So what are some of the counter arguments for rates?
Well, the counter argument would be if rates stay the same or actually go down. And some of the things to look at would be another European crisis. So, you know, right now, current in today is Greece again,
mm-hmm.
Talking about bailing on their debt. The Russian debt, what if
mm-hmm.
Russia defaults, which is a huge economy.
Mm-hmm.
The Fed just being passive right now. There's always talk about the deflation. So deflation means rates are moving the other way. And right now with the federal budget, it's actually their deficit is lowering. Now, interesting that the Fed expected rates in the U.S. to go up every year, and the rates the following year after that, they were wrong. So, you know, is it going to be different this year? Time will tell.
So, you know, we also have to look at the U.S., but I'm curious, how has the U.S. market reacted to, U.S. equity markets reacted to rate hikes, both 12 months before, maybe 12 months following a rate hike?
Yeah. That's good. The S&P 500, which is, you know, more of a broad-based index, and we can look at us, but the U.S. is usually an indicator. And if we look at 12 months before they did their first interest rate hike and 12 months later, in 1994, it was 11%.
Mm.
And then after they did the interest rate hike, so a year later, it was 3%.
Mm.
99, the same thing happened. We had 21% before the hike. 9% after a year later, and 2004 was 18%, 12 months before the first hike, 7%, 12 months later. So it shows you raising rates does slow down the economy. So that's exactly what happens. They raise rates and returns do drop, but as soon as it picks up, you see that what happens, the returns are actually pretty good.
They're still positive, right?
Yeah.
So how about shifting gears back to oil? Maybe you can talk a little bit about some of the negative developments that happened.
In oil, the sharp decline in oil prices hurts the producers and the resources, so the people who make it and sell it. It has a volatile effect on the market, so we've seen that. The Eurozone inflation remains low right now. There's political risk with I would say is a negative development. And right now, because Japan's in recession, they're not using as much, so that's another reason that's a negative effect of oil.
Okay, now let's move to the positive developments in oil. What's that?
Well, if oil prices go down, it stimulates global growth.
Mm-hmm.
Prices to transport it, to make it, et cetera, go down. Momentum is turning back upwards, so we had a bit of a slide, now it's going up. But the problem, you know, some of the geopolitical risks, like Scotland independence, that's done with.
Mm-hmm.
We had elections. China, Japan is a little bit improving. The Israeli Gaza Strip, it looks like that's improving, so there's some positive spin on it. And the Canadian housing market downside, there was talk that it was going to go down. It seems manageable.
Right. Joe, I know we as consumers benefit at the pumps with lower oils, but who else benefits?
Well, consumers, like you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So when we fill up gas or we're buying goods that are trucked in,
mm-hmm.
airlines, right, they're mm-hmm. saving money on fuel. Anybody who does transportation services, trucks, taxis, et cetera. The travel industry, because if prices stay low, people are going to travel more. And hotels, fast food, because they get everything delivered.
I know you touched on it earlier, but who hurts from the lower oil prices?
Well, believe it or not, the public transportation system hurts, because with cheap gas prices, people aren't going to take buses, trains, et cetera. So that they hurt. A lot of the producers. So if you're producing, you're not going to be making as much money.
Right.
Drilling or looking for oil, et cetera. And some of the engineering and construction firms. So if there was projects that were going to be done, they're going to put them on hold until oil goes back up.
So why is oil weak? I mean, we saw it all unfold over the last 6 months or so, but why? Maybe you could talk about some of those fundamentals.
Well, primarily supply and demand. When the U.S. right now was producing more than Saudi Arabia, and so there was so much oil, and Saudi Arabia didn't want to kind of just shut their production down, so they kept producing, which supply and demand dictates oversupply, less demand, prices go down. So that is the biggest one. The other one, there was weaker than expected demand. So they pumped all this oil out, and then people weren't using it. So then they caused more oil, and the rising dollar has an effect on the lower prices.
Good. Do you have any final comments on oil?
Well, if you ask some of the experts out there, where would oil end up this year? And a lot of the communication is that it's going to be about $67, $60 to $70 a barrel.
Wow.
We'll see. You know, that's not bad. That means that growth could still happen. But at the end of the day, we don't know. And then on a side note, some of the, like, if you look at Russia, for instance, to balance their debt, they're looking at least $90 to $100 a barrel. So right now, Russia's losing money, and that's the fear that they might not be able to pay their debt. Because when you're expecting to sell something at $100 and the price is $40, you're taking a $60 loss. So that's just a comment, and it's happening all over the world to all the oil producers.
Right on. Well, Joe, as we approach the end of the call, at this point in the call, I usually ask you some of the if you have anything, new updates that you have on the website, including this call will be on the website. And maybe is there anything else that you want to talk about there?
Yeah, there is always, what we like to do is ask the managers directly. So if you don't like to listen to my lovely voice, you can hear it right from the managers. It's located at allisonfinancial.com under the resource tab. There's a section called Market Monitor. There's also a section for conference calls where my calls are posted. We added three more for the January 2015 that were on there. They're about 5 minutes. They're worth listening to. What we have is Rob Pemberton. He's head of fixed income at TD Asset Management. He's talking about fixed income valuations, interest rates, the effects of inflation, deflation. The title of his is Harder Times for Fixed Income. We also have Brandon Geiser. He's a portfolio manager of Marsico in the U.S. Talks about the market, the volatility that it's facing, the current oil situation, and the U.S. dollar. And his topic is a new price paradigm for oil. And finally, we have a Canadian manager, Kim Shannon. She's president of Sionio Investments, and she gives us her take on oil prices being Canadian and how much longer the sideways market can last, and also some other advice on investing in equity. She's always good to listen to, and her title is Equities Still Attractive.
Well, I'll be sure to check that out, Joe. And again, thank you to our listeners. Thank you, Joe. I look forward to our next call in May. Back to you, Joe.
Thanks, John. I'm going to put this on the website. Our next call, you're right, I think will be in May after the second quarter. If there's any questions, people feel free to call me at 705-435-0001, or they can just email me, joe.muto@allisonfinancial.com. Thank you, goodbye, and remember our commitment, your future.